The following message was given by brothers Dennis Cooley and Timothy Hung in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, January 6, 2019. The title of the message is Being Witnesses of the Resurrected, Ascended, and All-Inclusive Christ. Scripture reading, Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Acts chapter 2, verse 32, 33, and 36. Luke chapter 24, verse 48. Numbers chapter 13, verses 27, 28, 30, and 31. Numbers chapter 14, verses 7 through 9 and 24. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11 and 17. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6.
Pray you would grant us more faith today. Amen. Oh, we love you, and we love your word. Speak to every one of us this morning. Amen. Well, this week we're still reviewing the propagation of the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ as the development of the kingdom of God for our morning watch this week. And also we've just finished the training on the book of Numbers, both the Anaheim training last week and the video training this week. And so we have some burden just to share one point from the book of Acts related to the propagation of the resurrected and ascended Christ. And also I have some burden to touch one point from the Numbers training, which really is an illustration or a help for us in being his witnesses. Acts 1:8 says that you shall be my witnesses, right? In Jerusalem, in Samaria, and in all of Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So brothers and sisters, we are witnesses. We are witnesses of the resurrected Christ. And that is our what the Lord has commissioned us with. And it's quite something, you know, in the reading we had, it mentions this, that in God's plan to carry out his development, his establishment of the kingdom of God on the earth, he did not choose a group of preachers. He did not choose a bunch of speakers to preach the word, but he chose a body of witnesses to witness of the resurrected and ascended Christ. And I was very touched by that this week. What the Lord is after is not just something we can do. We can preach something, we can speak something, but what he is after is what we are. And we should be those who are witnesses of the resurrected and ascended and all-inclusive Christ. Now, you know, when I was young and I read those verses, I thought, well, surely the disciples were eyewitnesses. It mentions this in the book of Acts. They were there. They saw him. They saw him being crucified. They saw him resurrected. When he came after his resurrection, they were with him. Even they saw him ascend directly into the heavens. Easy for them to be eyewitnesses, but I've never seen the Lord physically. How can I be an eyewitness? You know, have you ever thought about that? Well, the Lord has still called us to be eyewitnesses. He wants us to be those who experience and who have seen, not with these physical eyes, but we've seen in our hearts and with our spirit, we have seen that Christ is not just dead. He is resurrected. Amen. And he is the life-giving spirit living in us. And I enjoyed this verse in 1 Peter, which we didn't have a chance to read this morning, but I'd like to read it to you. 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8, mainly verse 8, but there's something in 7. So that the proving of your faith, much more precious than of gold which perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, into whom, though not seeing him at present, yet believing, you exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. We have not seen him. No one in this room has seen him physically. But everyone in this room loves him. Why do we love him? Because we have received him. We have believed into him. And he is very real to us. And to be the witnesses of this Christ has a lot to do with our daily living. This contrast between God did not want just a body of preachers, but he wants a, a group of preachers, but a body of witnesses shows that he wants people to see Christ through our daily living. Our living matters. Our living testifies. Our living witnesses of something very real. You know, many of us, and many of you even right now, you may be going through a very difficult time on your job. I know a brother, and you know, his company is cutting way back, and everybody's afraid, and you know, of losing their job, and I'm sure he is as well. But this brother is, you can't see it in him. And many times with the saints, you don't see it in them. And their co-workers ask us, why are you so happy? We all could get a pink slip tomorrow. And then, you know, but we're still smiling, we're still happy, and we're still going on. And they wonder, what's going on with you? And that is a very good time to be a living witness of the Lord. We may even say something, well, you know, I believe in God and I believe he'll take care of me whether I lose the job or not. I'm not worried. The Lord will take care of me. That's one way. But another way is just to be happy during that whole period and be joyful. And people know that you are a believer and they see that something is different in your living. Brothers and sisters, we must be. The Lord has commissioned us to be his eyewitnesses. By our living, by the way we live, the way we choose things, the way we think about things, and the way we react to things, testifies that Jesus Christ is living. You know, and in this portion it mentions not only we need to know him, you know, in Philippians 3:10 it says to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death. We need not only to know him in his resurrection. We need to know him as the ascended Christ. He has ascended and he has been crowned as the Lord of all. He has been commissioned, and in his ascension, you know, his resurrection is a matter of life. Death could not hold him, and he rose from the dead. And that's a marvelous testimony of his life, which is indestructible, all powerful. And overcomes the strongest thing on this planet, and that is death. He has resurrection life. In fact, he is resurrection, and he is the life himself. But not only so, he ascended to the Father, to the right hand of the Father. And he was given this position of ruler over all the universe. He is crowned Lord of all. He is the Lord of every head of every government. He is our head. He is our Lord. And I was convicted by this, that even though I do enjoy, and we all enjoy, the Lord's life and even the resurrection life, overcoming different situations in our daily life, how much am I experiencing him as the Lord of all in ascension? It's a matter of his position. And so that we have been seated together with him in his ascension. So when we're in the prayer meeting, we need to pray the prayers from this position, right? Of authority, from this position of his ascension. We need to experience Christ not only in his death and in his resurrection, but also in his ascension as the Lord of all. The one who is capable of doing everything for us, taking care of everything for us, we need to, and I'm stressing this word this morning, believe in God. We need to believe. You know, sometimes some young people would come to me and they have some problem, some situation, and they just don't know what to do. And inwardly I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, don't you believe in God? Don't you believe that God can take care of this for you? Now, I don't say it all the time because it's a little maybe sarcastic or whatever, but inwardly I'm thinking that way, you know, and then I'm exposed because sometimes I don't believe in God in the same way. Brothers and sisters, we need to have the faith in God himself. And so, related to this, I was struck in the training, message 11, about Joshua and Caleb. You know, we read this verse, Caleb had another spirit. He had a marvelous spirit, you know, and in that story in the book of Numbers, Before they entered into the good land, Moses sent in 12 spies, or we might say 12 witnesses, to witness what the good land was like and what, you know, to bring back their report. And I think we all know this story. They came back, and we read those verses, and let me read them to you again. And the spies came back and they told him, that's Moses, and said, "We came to the land in which you sent us, and indeed," just like he said, right? "It indeed flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." And they bore these, you know, this tremendous amount of fruit with them. Then 28, verse Numbers 13, 28. "However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And we also saw the descendants of Anak there." These are the descendants, the Nephilim. These are the descendants when the angels came and had improper relationships with human women among the children of Israel. The offspring were giants, the Nephilim, of which Goliath is one of them, right? I mean, I don't know how tall they were. Sometimes I get scared of seeing a brother who's 6'4" or 6'8", you know, but these people were maybe 8 feet. I don't know how big they were. They were huge. And they came back, "Oh, we can't deal with them. They're huge. They're the descendants of Anak." Then I love this verse, "But Caleb." Praise the Lord for Caleb. Amen. It's a good name. "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need this kind of spirit. We need the spirit of Caleb. "Let us go up. The Lord gave it to us. The Lord told us to possess it. We are well able to overcome it." The problem was the 10 spies measured the situation according to themselves, what they thought they could do. They had no thought about God doing it for them, seemingly. They measured everything according to themselves. So then they responded. But the men who went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." And then the Bible says, "Because they had an evil heart of unbelief." Brothers and sisters, we need to beware of an evil heart of unbelief. We would never think this of ourselves, but if we think we're not able to do something, we're not able to make it through this, we're not able to, you know, overcome this or that, what that is and what that means is that we are measuring that environment, we're measuring that situation by what we can do. And we are not able in ourselves to do it. But God is more than able to give them the good land. And Caleb realized that. And he believed in God. He had faith in Jehovah. And he was strong to declare that to the people. And Joshua was the same. But because the 10 spies and then the rest of the congregation, when they heard the 10 spies report, they also measured it according to themselves. And they said, "No, we can't go up." And they followed the 10 spies. Well, I think you all know God's judgment was quite severe. "Because of your heart of unbelief," he told them, "you will die in this wilderness. You will not enter into the good land. Only Joshua and Caleb will enter in because of their belief." So this is my feeling this morning. This is a tremendous example about being a witness. We may see a lot of things that are stronger than us in our environment, but we shouldn't trust in that. We need to have faith in God. He is able to bring us through. He is able to overcome the situation. We're not able, but He is more than able. So I brought these verses from Romans 10:9. We're all very clear that our believing is a matter of our heart. With the heart, man believes. We don't want a heart of unbelief. We want a heart of belief and full of faith, right? So Romans 10:10, "For with the heart there is believing unto righteousness, and with the mouth there is confession unto salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him shall not be put to shame." So faith comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And this was the burden in that message. Brothers and sisters, we need to have faith. And our faith comes out of the word. Our faith is based on the word. So the more we're in the word, the more we enjoy the word, the more faith we will have. And the more that we will not trust ourselves or believe in ourselves. Because it's true, we are not able. We're not able to overcome the giants in our environment, in our situation. But the Lord is more than able. So we need a heart full of belief and full of trust in Him. Amen. Then Numbers 14:24 was a strengthening to me. Only my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has fully followed me, will I bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. And I think many of you know this story. When he entered into the land, he asked for a certain parcel. And I think he was about 85 at that time. But his eye was not dim, right? And he was full of strength. Full of strength. You read that account. I mean, boy, I hope I'm that strong at 85. But anyway, he had the discernment. His eye was not dim. He was clear. He saw things very clearly. And I believe that's because he had this kind of spirit. And the Lord preserved him and kept him. So anyway, may we be those who are full of faith. Full of faith in God, not in ourselves, that we would be His witnesses right now where we are, in our neighborhoods, on our jobs, with our family. We would be witnesses that our Christ is resurrected. He is in ascension, and He is now carrying out His heavenly ministry. Amen.
So Dennis mentioned the portion that we have in the training. The training was on, we just finished here. The training was on the book of Numbers. What we have been covering every week, we cover this past week concerning the being witnesses of the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ. So our brother connect what's in the training to what we have been covering. And the witnesses are the believers. Pretty much our brother brought this point very clear to all of us that we need to be believers believing what the Lord has accomplished in order to be the witnesses. We just finished the training, and I enjoy also the training very much. And I want to put the books of the book of Acts with what we've been covering during the training. The book of Acts in the New Testament is the history book. And in the Old Testament, there are history books also. And last week, I think we covered, not this past week, the week before, we covered the divine history and the human history. So in the Old Testament, there was a history concerning the children of Israel, but that is also the divine history. That was the divine history, was God moving with man. But the Acts, the book of Acts, is a history. The history of the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, it's not just a human history, but it is also a divine history. The difference is one was God outside of man, and the other one is God inside of man. So today, we are in the divine history. So whenever we join ourselves, one with the Lord, praise the Lord, we are in the divine history. The human history will be over, but the divine history will continue. And the divine history has eternal value. I'm very thankful this morning, even this morning's meeting, it has divine value. It has eternal value. So praise the Lord for this. The book of Acts, we have one verse in Luke. Last chapter of Luke, when the Lord was, both the book of Luke and the book of Acts They both were written by Luke. You may say one is Luke 1, or First Luke, and the other book is Second Luke. In Luke, already the Lord told the disciples, you are witnesses. Yeah. At that time, Luke in the last chapter, the sisters went to find the Lord, and they didn't see, and they told Peter. Peter went and saw it, that the tomb was empty. Then they returned, and there was two disciples, they went down to Emmaus, and the Lord was walking with them and brought them back eventually. And in the meeting, then the Lord was there appearing to them, and he charged them that they are witnesses. So we see the connection of the book of Luke with the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it mentioned that the Lord charged the disciples that you will be witnesses. But before he mentioned that they will be witnesses, he mentioned that they should stay in Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Spirit, the power will come upon them. Then they will be witnesses. So just to have the life is not adequate. There is the need of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, for them to receive power. Then they will be witnesses. And I think we all had the impression when the disciples after the Lord was crucified, and they were very afraid. They were meeting together, and the door was closed. The window was closed. And then the Lord came and breathed into them. And then the Lord told them, the Lord with them 40 days, speaking to them concerning the kingdom of God. Then they prayed 10 days. Then the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came down. And then they become witnesses. So this picture is I really enjoy that the Lord led them eventually to become his witnesses on the earth. And of course, if we read Acts, I searched a little bit, Peter not only mentioned concerning the witnesses in chapter 2, he was witnessing the resurrection of Christ, the resurrected Christ. Also in chapter 3, in chapter 5, in chapter 10, he all mentioned concerning they are witnesses. So today, we all are witnesses, not just the apostles, We are witnesses of the Lord's resurrection and also his ascension, Concerning the Lord's resurrection, it's emphasized because resurrection, on one hand, it points what has happened before. That is his incarnation, his human living, and his death, and also his resurrection after death. But going forward, it goes concerning the Lord's ascension and his administration, and he's been made Lord, King, and his second coming. So the resurrection, you may say, is the center. And concerning seeing the Lord ascension, we had the verses in chapter 1, verse following chapter 1, verse 8. Maybe we can read a little bit. Verse 9. And when he had said these things, while they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him away from their sight. And while they were looking intently to heaven, as he went, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven and will come in the same way as you beheld him. Going into heaven. So this record was concerning the disciples was with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord ascended in front of them. And what happened afterwards, no one has seen. But it mentioned that we are the witnesses of both resurrection and ascension and his all-inclusiveness. If we read the other verses, we'll realize that in Revelation, we have the verses in the morning watch also. That is, the Lord, when in Revelation, the Lord brought John to saw a kind of a view. When you know, they saw the Lord ascended, but John saw a lamb just being slain. So it shows that there was a view concerning the Lord's resurrection. And Peter saw it also, because Peter said, this very Christ you have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And he even used the name that he is the leader. So in Peter's realization that this Christ is not just crucified and resurrected, but also ascended. And in Ephesians also mentioned, he has resurrected, sitting on the right hand of God, and also he has been ascended far above all, and gave him to be the head. So today, our Christ is also the head of the body. So today, we are the members of his body bearing such a testimony. So this view is really precious, that today we can be such a witness. Amen. To the resurrected, ascended Christ. Dennis mentioned a brother testified Friday concerning the job situation. In fact, many of us, we may go through the same situations. You know, last night there was a gospel meeting. There were a couple of brothers also sharing the same thing, testifying. I think testifying the Lord's death, testifying the Lord's resurrection, testifying the Lord's ascension. Some brothers, some saints were in that meeting. One brother was he was working in a number store, and you know, it's a job very not well paid, but you know, at least supply him. And he said he was working there, then he changed the job, but when the burden concerning to go to Taiwan to blame with the saints in Taiwan, then he feel that he should go. Then he just, you know, started the job, and but eventually he talked to the boss. He said, "I need to you know, I have this job, but I work, but I have God's work to do also." So he said, "I need a week or 10 days, you know, to go." And the boss said, "How can you leave? What should I do?" And then he told the boss that, "Well, you can start find a person. Whenever you find it, I'll leave. And if you didn't find it, I'll work. But I need the days to go." But anyway, he went. He went, and he came back on the same job, in fact. So, by faith. Another brother is also, you know, he drives a car, right? He's a Uber driver, you know. Uber driver, you know, he said, "I have the job most free." But he depends on his car. You know, he comes to the meeting, he takes sense to the meeting. Then one day the car broke down, and he took the car to the shop. Inspection is $250, and to repair is $5,000, because that's the hybrid car. The battery is the whole thing. It's the most expensive part. Then he wondered, you know, he went to the inspection. Make the long story short, there was a lot of about the warranty. You know, the car is already $140,000. It's over warranty. But anyway, he went to the Lord and he asked, you know, "What should I do? You know, I'm very busy with the church life. Now the car broke down. I have a family." And make the long story short, the whole thing was free. The car was fixed. So today, for us, you know, he is a, they both are witnesses, you know, yes, last night. So five got baptized. I just feel today the message, both in Numbers and in Acts, are for us today here in New York City. In the past, I thought the Lord, after resurrected, ascended, he's there sitting down, right? That's it. He's waiting for the enemy to be his footstool, right? But in fact, the Lord is very busy. The Lord is very busy. Is the Lord busy in New York City? Amen. The Lord is very busy in New York City. We all are very busy, right? I think the Lord is moving on. And for us to participate in this move, in his move, I just feel I'm very thankful that we all can be part of it. That's why this January 13th, that's all. Come together. Amen. And invite, recover those, you know, they don't come so often. In fact, recently I saw quite a few the old faces, but they came to the meeting. I think the Lord is really recovering. Somehow they also heard the Lord is moving. I just want to add what Dennis just mentioned, you know, we need to believe, definitely. We need to believe. Concerning the Lord's move, Acts, the book of Acts, is a picture. From the Lord's ascension until Paul was in Rome. But what's after Rome? So we say, the book of Acts has not stopped. It's not ended at chapter 28. The book Acts is still continuing today. So today, we are participating in his move. And so whatever happening, you know, in before the Lord's coming, in fact, the Lord's coming is very much dependent on his move on the earth and our moving with him. Christ, when he was on earth, it was recorded in the gospel, in the Gospels, his acts. But that's his earthly ministry. His ministry did not stop at the cross. After he resurrected and ascended, he started his heavenly ministry. And his heavenly ministry needs a group of people on the earth to cooperate with him so he can continue his move. And this picture is in the book of Numbers. You know, the Numbers, it gave us the picture of the Lord's move. After the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were brought to Mount Sinai, and there they received the commandment, but they also received God's building, the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was built, and from there, the children of Israel start going on, moving on with the Lord, with the ark and with the tabernacle. With the pillars of cloud and pillars of fire, also with the two silver trumpets. So this is the book of Numbers, showing us God's move on the earth in the Old Testament. From the Mount Sinai to where? To Mount Zion. So eventually, the ark rested on Mount Zion. And in this picture, the last message during Saturday covered was concerning this point that in Psalm 68, maybe we can read a few verses. I only picked very few verses concerning that picture. Maybe we can read together. Chapter 68. Let's read together. Let God arise and let his enemy be scattered, and let those who call him. The Lord gives the command. The woman who bear the glad tidings are a great host. The kings of the army flee. They flee and she who abides at home divides the spoil. Though you lie among the sheepfolds, there are doves' wings covered with silver, and its pinions with greenish yellow gold. Okay, so this picture shows us, let God arise and his enemy be scattered. This shows, in fact, the picture was mentioned in Ephesians. In Ephesians, it mentioned after the Lord's resurrection and he ascended. In chapter 4, it mentioned having ascended to the height, that's his ascension. He led captive those taken captive. So we were the captives of the enemy. But now the Lord has gained us. We become his captives. He led captive those taken captive and give gifts to man. So today, after his ascension, we have been all as gifts given to the church for the building of the church. So that was the picture in Psalm 68. We have verses connect to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Psalm 68, it's very interesting. It mentioned that those are following the Lord are women. And they mentioned, what did the women do? The women, they were there dividing the spoils. They were not doing much. So, in other words, the witnesses, on one hand, we need to be believers, we need to be, have the Spirit breathe into us, and we have the Spirit cover us. But on the other hand, the Lord just wants us to be the women's. The women's are female also. What we do, we just enjoy Christ's victory. Today, Christ is victorious. Amen. He is the victor. Amen. What we need to do is just to follow him and to declare the glad tidings. So even last night, on one hand, it was a gospel meeting. We're fighting to save sinners out of Satan's hand. On the other hand, we're also just women. We're announcing the glad tidings. We are enjoying the spoils. What are the spoils? The spoils are very interesting. In Psalm 68, can you go back a few? Okay, they divide the spoils, right? That's verse 12. Okay, if you go back, there was a verse concerning the maybe next. It was concerning the pinions. The last one? Yeah. Okay. 13. Let's read again. Though you lie among the sheepfolds, there are doves' wings covered with silver, and its pinions with greenish yellow gold. This verse, in the past, I could not understand. But this verse is very interesting. This verse implies the triune God. Because here it mentioned the silver, the silver coins for redemption, but also mentioned the yellow gold. Yellow gold referring to God's divine nature, referring to the Father. And it also mentioned dove. Dove refer to the Spirit. So God, in his move in Christ, the ark, with the tabernacle on the earth, with all the children of Israel, eventually reached the destination, and has won the victory. Eventually, he has gained a lot of, he has defeated the enemy, and he has gained a lot of spoil. And the spoils are just the triune God himself. So today, for us, what we need to do is we just need to enjoy the triune God and declare his victory. Of course, to know the details, we will have the training messages, follow up the Holy Word for Morning Revival. We can go into the details. But what we do today is we just need to declare the Lord's victory. Amen. and enjoying the Lord's victory, and announce the glad tidings, and to be the living witnesses of the Lord's death, resurrection, and ascension, and His all-inclusiveness. Praise the Lord. So I'll stop here.